Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we explore President Trump's late-night tweets vowing to deport, quote-unquote, millions of illegal aliens, a tweet that is now reverberating around the mainstream media and political worlds. And AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the real center of the Democrat Party, responds and, surprise, surprise, says some stupid and really dumb stuff again, all on the eve of Donald Trump announcing the official beginning of his 2020 re-election campaign. This is Charlie Kirk, host of the Charlie Kirk Show. Give us 5 stars. Here we go. Getting fit and staying healthy always sounds easier said than done, right? Well, I just finally am getting back to hiking and running. Did it in Aspen this weekend. Those of you that follow my Instagram story, you know. But OpenFit is bringing you something new that makes it so easy to never miss a session or a workout session. Lose the commute to the gym and let the workouts come to you. OpenFit takes all the complexity of losing weight and getting fit. It's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room in as little as 10 minutes a day. Everyone's bodies are different, and OpenFit gets that, which is why it is personalized to your needs with custom-tailored original content. It has amazing training and classes. OpenFit classes are led by some of the most effective and engaging trainers in the world. Sculpt your body with Angie Rogers, founder of the worldwide sensation Extend Bar, or get in crazy good shape with Hunter McIntyre, named by Sports Illustrated as one of the top fittest athletes. These trainers know how to get you results quick. It's super simple. Forget all the complexity and stress around getting fit and just press play and work out on your own schedule. 600 seconds with celebrity trainer Devin Wiggins packs the fat-burning, muscle-building, body-sculpting benefits of much longer sessions into a fraction of that time. Access anywhere at any time, view on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, and Roku. Results you can see. Lose up to 15 pounds the first 30 days, flatten your abs, shape your body, look and feel great. It is so great. It helped heal my back. It keeps you on schedule, keeps you accountable, and keeps you disciplined. OpenFit has changed the way I work. With my code Kirk, K-A-R-K, that's K-I-R-K, you can join me on a fitness journey personalized just for you. Again, use my code right now on OpenFit. You can go to OpenFit right now, use the code Kirk, or you could text Kirk to 303030. That's 303030. Text Kirk to 303030. You'll be able to get into OpenFit, and you'll have such an amazing experience, I'll tell you. And you'll get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts, nutrition information, totally free. Again, just text Kirk to 303030. That's 303030. Standard message and data rights may apply. What's up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. Boy, we got an amazing show planned for you here. But let's start, of course, with our great president's tweet on immigration that is sending shockwaves throughout Washington, D.C. and all across the country. So President Trump, gotta love his Twitter account, one of the best Twitter accounts out there. He said, quote, next week, ICE, which is the Immigration Customs Enforcement, you hear all on the left that they want to abolish ICE and get rid of ICE, when in reality, actually, ICE is the number one agency that goes after child sex trafficking and drug trafficking and narcotic traffic in our country. So anyway, the president said next week, ICE will begin the process of removing the millions of illegal aliens. Let's just stop right there. What I love about that, first and foremost, is how the president is not afraid to use the language illegal aliens. And is that he knows how much that will irritate the media and the left, yet it is so fundamentally true. And I think far too often we have these kind of communication breakdowns where the left, they'll say, oh, they're undocumented. And then when you even say, you dare say, well, no, they're illegal aliens or their line cutters or their border jumpers, all of a sudden you get attacked and you're not allowed to say that. So the president knows exactly what he's saying here in this tweet. So let me continue. So again, he says, next week ICE will begin the process of removing the millions of illegal aliens who have illicitly, that's such great language, illicitly found their way into the United States. They will be removed as fast as they come in. Mexico, comma, using their strong immigration laws, is doing a very good job of stopping people. Let me stop right there. Why do you think Mexico is doing a very good job of stopping people? Was Mexico doing a good job of stopping people a month ago? 2 months ago? Of course not. Mexico is doing a good job of now stopping people because the president used the tariff authority, with the authority that was within his own executive capacity, to be able to threaten tariffs against Mexico. And so when he said, oh, I'm going to slap a 5% tariff on Mexico, all of a sudden Mexico scrambled to try to prevent illegal immigration, not only from the Central American countries into Mexico, but also illegal immigration into America. So the president kind of pats himself on the back, rightfully so here, saying that, you know what? Mexico is now using their strong immigration laws and doing a very good job of stopping people. The president continues in his tweet. He says, long before they get to our southern border, Guatemala is getting ready to sign a safe third agreement. Now, again, we talked about this previously on the Charlie Kirk Show, but what does this mean? This essentially means that if Nicaragua signs this agreement with the United States and Mexico signs the agreement, it means that you cannot traverse through multiple countries if you consider yourself to be a refugee or if you consider yourself to be seeking asylum. And so if you leave Nicaragua or if you were to leave El Salvador, as long as you hit a peaceful country along your way that is not considered a war-torn country, you're not allowed to continue to keep declaring asylum along the way. And so the United States and Canada have that sort of agreement. So if someone were to leave Nicaragua and this agreement was actually to be signed, amazing negotiation by the president, this would play a significant and substantial role in curbing illegal immigration. The president continues in his tweet, the only ones who won't do anything are the Democrats in Congress. And isn't it amazing to think, you know what the president is really saying here? What the president is saying is that Mexico is doing more than the Democrat Party to stop illegal immigration. Let me say that again. That Mexico, a foreign country, is doing more to stop illegal immigration than an entire American political party. It's incredible. And then finally, the president ends, they must vote to get rid of the loopholes and fix asylum. If so, comma, border crisis will end quickly. The president is, this is such an important issue. Now, this was a masterstroke type issue that the president ran on in 2016. See, the elites in both parties, they try to stay away from this issue. Mind you, the kind of open border mentality of the center right and the center left in our country that have just allowed the borders to remain open and allowed the lawlessness to continue. The president challenged that directly. The president said, you know what, we're going to build the wall. We're going to have Mexico pay for it. You know, a phrase that continues to ring in the political consciousness of our country. But what was he really saying? It's like, I'm going to make immigration a key part to my administration. I'm not going to ignore this issue like the elites have ignored this for so long. I'm not going to turn a blind eye like so many people have in the past. I'm going to stand for the American worker. I'm going to stand against the rise of crime. And the president, almost exactly 4 years ago, and a couple days ago, the president announced his candidacy for president of the United States. President Trump did. And from his first speech at Trump Tower, he promised a crackdown on illegal immigration. He promised a new approach to illegal immigration. Let's just talk about some facts. Fact, there are 240,000 inmates currently in federal prison. Think about that. There are 240,000 people in federal prison. 60,000 of them are illegal aliens. Think about it. In order to get to federal prison, you have to do something quite serious. You have to do something, you know, pretty out there. So that means that one in four federal prisoners, 25%, are illegal immigrants. That's costing U.S. taxpayers $1.4 billion every year. But you know what that doesn't take into account? That doesn't take into account the actual societal damage each one of these prisoners did. It doesn't take into account the robberies. It doesn't take into account the arson. It doesn't take into account the assaults that these individuals did through our society. Not to mention now we have to feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day. And we have to house them on the back of the U.S. taxpayer. If you ask me, we should build the wall and deport every single federal prisoner back to their home country. Why should we continue to have to house, to feed, and to protect these federal prisoners because they wreaked havoc on our own country? So I'm going to read from Politico really quick. Quote, Trump's ICE comments publicize a planned immigration and customs enforcement operation targeting Central American families and unaccompanied minors who had turned 18. According to three people familiar with the plan, they appeared to elaborate on a comment earlier this month by newly installed ICE director Mark Morgan. By the way, Mark Morgan's doing a great job. He's one of the hardest jobs in America. That ICE will intensify enforcement against migrants already living in the United States, including families. Politico continues by saying, Trump's praise for Mexico and mention of a broad asylum deal comes after U.S. and Mexican officials struck a June 7th agreement to increase border enforcement in both countries. the president had threatened to impose a slate of escalating tariffs on America's southern neighbor if Mexico did not take more dramatic measures to curb the flow of migrants traveling through Mexico and into the United States from countries including Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, end quote. So essentially what's being said here is that Trump has this plan, he's enacting this plan specifically towards the issue on the southern border. And make no mistake that as the president negotiated a better deal using the power of tariffs, as the president was able to use his capacity to put forth better deals, all of a sudden we're starting to see movement. Things actually get better. Now, this is from the Associated Press. A senior Mexican official said Monday that 3 weeks ago, about 4,200 migrants were arriving at the United States border daily. Now that number has dropped about 2,600. Associated Press, I wonder what has changed in the last 3 weeks. What's the only thing that has changed in the variable equation? Oh, I know. The president threatened to use tariffs. The president threatened to use a 5% tariff. Boy, if 5% tariff got them to reduce the number of illegal migrants from 4,200 to 2,600, I wonder what a 10% tariff would do, or a threat of a 15% tariff. The president is putting our country first, and he says, you know what? I might have to use an arrow in my quiver to be able to stop the flow of illegals coming into our country. This is so important. And so I'm reading, you know, some of the notes that were compiled to me here, and this is always bothers me, is because people say that there's somewhere between 11 to 22 million illegal aliens residing in the United States. And the fact that we don't know, the fact that there isn't a number, should concern everyone. Oh yeah, there's somewhere between 11 and 22 million. Oh, that's specific. That really helps. And then just so you understand, there's more than 1 million people that are expected this year alone. And by the way, this is not fair and this is not right for the people that are living here illegally. It's not a good deal for them because they have to live in the shadows. They have to steal Social Security numbers. They have to feel as if they're not totally within the American rule of law system, which they're not. And by the way, Ambassador Nikki Haley said it best on this podcast and this show in a previous episode. She said, if you break the law coming into this country, you're going to break the law while you're in the country. And I said, wow, Nikki, that is a phenomenal quote. I'm going to use that myself. And that's exactly right. That's why you see 25% of federal prisoners are illegal aliens, despite the illegal population not being anywhere near 25% of the American population. Just so you understand, we have about 335 million people in our country right now. There are anywhere between 11 and 22 million illegal aliens. So that means that the illegal aliens are far less than 10% of the American population. Even at the most generous assumption, they'd be right up against 10%, 8 to 9%. Yet they have nearly double the proportion of their own population in federal prisons. This sort of conversation of the kind of crime that comes across the border needs to happen, because far too often we get hypnotized into the potential positives of illegal immigration. And I'm hesitate to even find any, but the Democrats try to put us into this conversation. They put us into this dialogue that, well, if you're against this, you're somehow against the mother and her family coming across. But by the way, if you actually look, if you go down and visit the southern border like I have, if you go down and visit the southern border and you're able to see, talk to the Border Patrol agents, you're able to see the gaps in the border, and you're able to see how people can waltz right all the way through, and you're able to see that. One of the Border Patrol agents told me, Art Del Corto, who's been on Fox News many times recently talking about this issue, he said, Charlie, do you know what the number one thing that women have when they cross the border? I said, no, what is it? He said, well, they all have birth control pills with them. I said, why is that? He said, well, because it's so common that women are raped across the southern border entering into America. You cannot be pro-woman and pro-open borders. All right, everybody, before we get back into it, you think that cybercrime is something that happens to other people, don't you? Now, look, this is a product and service I use hourly, daily. Again, I just use it as I'm doing this right now. I turned on what I turn on? My ExpressVPN. You do not want people to be able to hack your credit card data. You don't want people to be able to get your information. You want to be able to protect your data and protect your information. Like, it's so unbelievably important you do this. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browser by encrypting your data and hiding your IP address. ExpressVPN is easy to use apps that seamlessly run in the background of your computer, phone, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click. Boom, click, you're protected. No foreign government, no crazy people can get into your phone. You need it. Using ExpressVPN, I can safely surf on public Wi-Fi without being snooped or having my personal data stolen. For less than $7 a month, you can get the same ExpressVPN protection that I have. ExpressVPN is the number one rated VPN service by TechRadar and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So go right now to expressvpn.com/Charlie. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie for 3 months free for a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie to learn more. For the American left or for liberals that are listening to the show, and your big issue is women's rights and your big issue is protection of women and your big issue is to make sure that women are not assaulted, which is a righteous issue and is something that I really care about, is something we should all care about, how on earth could you be okay with open borders? How on earth could you be okay with people that prey on the innocent, prey on children, and prey on women? It's disgusting. It's detestable. So while the Democrats fight to give illegal citizenship and like benefits and welfare, President Trump is fighting to put Americans first and fighting for the rule of law. But do you know what the flow of illegal immigration really hurts? Do you know who the flow of illegals really hurts more than anything else? Black America. Black America. Now, Black America has been largely disenfranchised by bad trade deals, by government programs, and by Democrat politicians in urban areas. So now, after 60 years, Black America has lower than average wages, lower than average wealth, lower than average home ownership, and they're now trying to pick themselves up and get higher wage jobs. But who undercuts those jobs? Illegal aliens that are willing to take a cash-only compensation. Illegal aliens that are willing to go work in jobs that otherwise would have been filled by everyday workers, people that are trying to make their lives better. And so for the left that has this big thing, well, Black Lives Matter. Well, if Black Lives really did matter, why do you want to bring in 15 million new people into our country that are also going to be put on welfare and benefits? Oh, that is exactly why. Because they want to create a new dependent voting bloc. This is all about politics. This entire issue is about political control. So let me crystallize this a little bit further for you. Donald Trump stole the base from the Democrat Party. If you were to ask in the 1990s, what does a Democrat look like? What does a typical Democrat look like? Many people would tell you, oh, a Democrat looks like a union worker, or a Democrat looks like a school teacher, or a Democrat looks like a pipe fitter, or a Democrat looks like a carpenter. What I'm really saying is that the blue-collar base, or the guys that worked with their hands, guys and women that worked with their hands, in the 1990s, it was so stereotypical that those people would be Democrats. And that's when the Republicans did quite well in the suburbs. But Bill Clinton did good enough in kind of the Democrat communities of the urban areas, plus these kind of blue-collar Democrats. You know, those were the Reagan Democrats of the 1980s, if you will. They left the Democrat Party for 8 years behind the message of a strong America and anti-communism. So now Donald Trump has pulled something off masterfully, something that George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, something that John McCain and Mitt Romney were not able to do. He stole the base away from the Democrat Party, their hard working class base, the folks that are carpenters and plumbers and electricians. So Democrats realize that all this data and information that they have, that people that are supposed to be Democrats, I'm sure that they have call centers all the time now where they're trying to say, hello, will you pitch in $5 to support the Elizabeth Warren campaign? And some carpenter picks up, says, no, I'm supporting Donald Trump. What are you talking about? I'm no longer a Democrat. Click, hangs up the phone. I'm sure this happens enough, not just anecdotally, but I'm sure this is, and this is shown in the data. The data shows counties like Trumbull County in Ohio or Macomb County in Michigan that have not voted for Republicans in such a long time, that were kind of these disciple Democrat counties that were as dogmatically Democrat as you could possibly get. What Donald Trump did, he stole those away from. All of a sudden, the entire political map has been changed, and so the Democrats are freaking out. And the Democrats say, what on earth can we do? Oh, I know. We'll go create a new political base. We'll go let in 5 to 10 million new people that have predominantly left-wing liberal ideas and values. Not necessarily. Let me correct myself a little bit. They are very much pro-life and hardworking. I'm talking about, you know, Mexicans and Nicaraguans and El Salvadorians. However, they are being told to vote for Democrat liberal values around the issue of protecting themselves. And unfortunately, so many come here, get on welfare, and stay on government benefits. They don't want to lose those benefits, and therefore they end up voting Democrat. So I will say they do have inherently conservative values, but unfortunately that line has been blurred way too much and those goalposts have been moved. And I do, and there are some people on the conservative side that say, no, they actually don't have conservative values. They might have socially conservative values, but they've actually known nothing but big government for hundreds of years in Central South America, which I think is an interesting argument. I don't know if I agree with it completely. And so the Democrats are opposed to these mass deportations. Why are they opposed to it? Because with every deportation, they see voters being lost. Oh, there's a deportation. There goes my voters. There's another deportation truck. There goes my voters. That's the only reason they care about this. If the illegal aliens were likely to vote for conservatives, if for whatever reason these illegal aliens were from Eastern Europe, now just mind you, Eastern Europeans vote Republican at almost 80 to 90%. So let's just put a reason why I pulled Eastern Europe out of a hat. But if they were from Eastern Europe, from Bulgaria or from Poland, and they were coming to this country, and Trump said, I'm gonna deport, you know, all the Polish immigrants. The Democrats would be like, well, that's kind of, I don't know if we agree with it, but we really don't care that much. All they care about is losing votes. They do not want to see the hemorrhaging of their political base and their new political base, which is illegal aliens and socialists in urban cities. That is the new Democrat base, and also disaffected suburban women. So I have just articulated to you their base. Their base is illegal aliens and people that are within the orbit of illegal aliens, socialists in urban cities like Manhattan and Malibu, Seattle and Portland, and then disaffected suburban women that are turned off by Donald Trump's tone and rhetoric. Now, if you take one of those away from them and you start to say, no, you're not going to be able to keep these hundreds of thousands of new illegals in our country that have came here illegally, that have cut in line, that have jumped our border. This is not sustainable. This is the defining issue of our time, because a country without borders is not a country at all. If we have a failure to enforce the rule of law, if we have a failure to be able to stand up for fairness and equity as far as coming into our country, then what other laws are we going to just all of a sudden start to not enforce any longer? And the most compassionate thing you could possibly do, the most compassionate thing you could do in a situation like this is turn down your own emotion and become simply focused on the interpretation of the rule of law. Now, this is really important, this whole idea, because not only has Trump now negotiated a deal where Mexico is stopping the flow of illegal aliens, but this announcement comes right after Mayor Pete Buttigieg. He said that Trump is intentionally not fixing the immigration problem. Now, this is one of the silliest accusations that I've seen. I mean, this is a president who literally declared a national emergency trying to fix our immigration problem. He literally signed a piece of paper saying this is a national emergency, just in the same category of a hurricane or an earthquake. So saying anything along the lines that is such a miscategorization and such a baseless attack by Mayor Pete Buttigieg. And of course, every single Democrat candidate, do you know what they all have in common? Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, Spartacus, Swalwell, the 20 plus other Democrats, every single one of them want more illegals into our country. Every single one. That should be one of the big questions you ask yourself going into 2020 to all the Democrats. And I encourage all the Charlie Kirk Show podcast listeners, if you live in Iowa, or if you live in New Hampshire, or South Carolina, or any of these states where these guys are going to come visit, guys and gals are going to come visit, peacefully, calmly, and respectfully, get out your smartphone, go up to one of the candidates and ask this question. Do you want more or less illegals to come into America? That's such a simple question. I would be fascinated by their answer, but I could also predict their answer. I would predict that their answer would be, oh, well, you know, we have to protect the undocumented. Ask again. It's a very simple question. Do you want more or less illegals to come into America? And every single one of them. Some of them actually might tell you the truth because they're so gaffe-prone to do it, like Joe Biden. But to put them on the spot like that, and to ask them such a simple question, and Donald Trump, the President Trump, would say, of course we want less. We don't want more illegals in our country, whether it be over $100 billion in social welfare benefits that illegals cost us every single year, whether it be according to an Arizona Department of Corrections Police Department study that showed that illegal aliens are twice as likely to commit crimes versus a natural-born citizen. This is a crisis that must be solved. And understand that President Trump did more in 5 days with the threat of these tariffs than the establishment Democrats and Republicans did in the last 20 years. I call them the Demokins and the Republicrats, because there's no difference between the two of them. They're indistinguishable. President Trump did more in 5 days with one singular threat of tariff. And make no mistake, Mexico, a foreign country, is doing more to stem the flow of illegal immigration than the entire Democrat Party. Independence Day, July 4th, is a holiday of family celebrations with picnics and barbecues. One of my favorite days of the entire year. Remember, conservatives celebrate July 4th, not April 15th, tax day. It's an American tradition. The Noble Gold folks want you to celebrate this 4th of July with the official Trump Freedom Coin. That's right. Jobless claims are at the lowest level since 1973, and the Dow recently hit a closing high. So it only makes sense to commemorate these milestone achievements with an official Trump Freedom Coin. On one side is an image of Donald J. Trump, while the other side lists all of his major achievements. So, whether you agree or love to disagree with him, you'll be missing out if you don't add Noble Gold Silver Trump Coin to your collectibles. For less than $40, for each 99.9% silver coin, you'll be able to own a piece of history. This is an amazing deal, everybody. You can save money on this. You get $5 off. You can keep value in the silver, which will appreciate over time. And you could support our president. This is the only presidential coin made. It's real silver and IRA approved. Go to TrumpCoin2020.com and use the code Kirk to get $5 off right now. I actually did it the other day. It's so easy. Do it now. Don't miss it. That's TrumpCoin2020.com. Use the code Kirk for $5 off. All right, everybody. Our friend is back at it again. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That's right. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is back at it. And what did she do now, Mr. Producer? That's right. She said something on social media. Boy. Okay. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez went on what I believe is to be an Instagram Live, an Instagram story of some sort. And she compared, it's just, I'm going to be very factual and very specific in the way I cover this. And I think you're all going to enjoy it. She compared President Donald Trump to, guess what, a fascist operating, quote, concentration camps on the U.S.-Mexican border.
You know, I don't use those words lightly. I don't use those words to just throw bombs. I use that word because that is what an administration that creates concentration camps is. A presidency that creates concentration camps is fascist, and it's very difficult to say that.
Okay, so let's break this down because there's a lot there. First and foremost, can we just come to a societal agreement maybe that not everything needs to get compared back to Nazi Germany? Can we just have a conversation about not comparing everything back to one of the worst horrors in human history? I mean, things can be bad, but they don't have to be that bad. I mean, again, the 1930s, what was overseen by the Nazis, one of the worst period of time, if not the worst period of time in human and world history. And yet, it seems as if almost daily, the constant comparison of this president to the leaders during that time cheapens the evil. It cheapens the evil of what happened there. And to say that the detention centers or the holding centers on the southern border are comparable to a systematic extermination campaign against a specific type of people is detestable. And so let's build this out even further. First of all, many people on the left like to call President Trump a fascist. Well, what does that actually even mean? And so I encourage you to go look at the Wikipedia page, fascism. And immediately, they're doing the world a disservice. Quote, fascism is a form of a radical right wing. Hold on a second. Radical right wing? Now, if you go to fascism on the Wikipedia page, on the fascism Wikipedia page, just how much damage Wikipedia does to our civil discourse. You have a picture of Benito Mussolini and Adolf Hitler, the fascist leaders of Italy and Nazi Germany. So you have a picture of them. Now, mind you, Adolf Hitler never called himself a fascist. He ran under the guise of the National Socialist Workers' Party. Now, let me continue. Let me continue this definition on Wikipedia. Fascism is a form of radical right-wing authoritarian ultra-nationalism. Do you see how they kind of blend that in there? So they kind of try to connect anyone that believes they are a nationalist, that believes in the idea of a nation-state, somehow is connected to fascism. Wikipedia continues by saying, characterized by dictatorial power. Have they tried to use that accusation against Trump? Forcible suppression of opposition and strong regimentation of society and of the economy, which came to prominence in the early 20th century. Now, let's just stop right here. If I were to actually describe the American left, I would describe what fascism truly is, which is using government force not to necessarily nationalize industries, but to put yourself into bigger power. And boy, isn't that what the American left wants to do? For example, soft fascism would be going to the Christian baker in Colorado saying, you must bake this cake. You must bake this cake, even though it's against your viewpoint. A soft form of fascism would be using the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS. Mind you, many Americans forget that Obama weaponized the IRS. Many Americans forget that conservative groups received hundreds, if not thousands, of audits during the Tea Party movement from the Internal Revenue Service. And Obama and his little pal, Lois Lerner. Do you remember Lois Lerner? Well, guess what? Lois Lerner is still getting checks from the federal government despite her weaponizing the Internal Revenue Service against people that they disagree with. That's the sort of stuff they accuse Donald Trump of that the left has actually done. And when I read this kind of weak intellectual and philosophical correlation that they're attempting to make, that somehow Donald Trump is someone who is using government power to suppress people that he disagrees with. If that was the case, why then did during the Mueller report, did President Trump not exert executive privilege once, despite President Clinton during a similar report, the Starr investigation, exerted executive privilege multiple times? And if you actually go down to the border and you visit these detention centers, you will come to learn and realize they are not concentration camps. A concentration camp was a place where mass extermination was planned, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. A concentration camp was a place where people, entire civilizations, went to burn and die. Do you know what the holding center is on the southern border? These people have committed a crime. They committed a crime to enter the United States. And more times than not, these children that come across the southern border are not with people who are their parents. They come with somebody else. Many times, these Border Patrol agents, and I've heard these stories and I've seen them firsthand, they will tell me that these unaccompanied minors are coming with people that are not their parents. And so wouldn't it be a logical thing to do to separate them, to make sure they're not being child sex trafficked, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Did you know that 10,000 children are smuggled across the southern border every single year, child sex trafficked? 10,000 children are sex trafficked into our country every single year. And you call a measure to try to prevent child sex trafficking a concentration camp? And to go back to my earlier point, this constant drumbeat theme, this theme of just trying to connect everything to the 1930s and to connect it to the National Socialist Workers Party, which of course is commonly called Nazi Germany, is disgusting. And now to play devil's advocate against myself, people say, well, Charlie, it's not really a crime to come across the southern border and claim asylum. But hold on a second. They use asylum as a means to come into the country. They are gaming the asylum system. If we're honest with ourselves, asylum is being used as a tool and a tactic to be able to gain entry into the United States. Oh yeah, I gain asylum because I want to go to a better country. Hold on. That actually cheapens the generosity and it compromises how the benevolence that is within our country. And so, but it is a crime to enter the United States without declaring asylum or without a valid asylum claim. And mind you, when these asylum claims are actually heard in front of a judge and judges are able to process them, more times than not, the decision is to deport them back to their home country. And there are entire NGOs, which stand for non-governmental organizations, that do nothing but help people fill out asylum claims and to seek asylum as if we need to have an entire institutionalized process to help people be able to use asylum. And so to go back to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she said, that is exactly what they are. Hold my goodness, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Really? That is exactly what they are? Her quote shows that there is no daylight between the mass extermination camps that happened in the 1930s to detention centers happening in the southern border because people have come into this country illegally. And they are more waiting centers. And I will say this, and I've had many friends visit actual ICE facilities, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, visit actual detention centers. And I even know some people that work in them, and I've met them. And every single one of them have told me, because pictures are not allowed inside of many of these facilities, because they're government facilities, even though I think that camera crews should be allowed inside of them, and a press waiver should be granted. There's air conditioning, There's ping pong tables. And what's so interesting, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is that from my own knowledge, I don't think you've actually visited the southern border. From my own research, I could be wrong. Maybe you've made a visit that I'm unaware of. Now, when I went down to the border and I met with the Border Patrol agents and I saw the wide open vacuums and I saw the crime and I saw the drugs and I saw the amount of communities that were completely destroyed because of this, it really educated me and it opened up my eyes and it allowed me the opportunity to be able to learn even more. Now, I want to cut to part of that video, but I want you to listen for 2 minutes, just about 2 minutes right now, to my conversation with Ardel Cuarto during my exclusive visit down to the southern border, because this part is very important to listen to.
This is the wall. In the biggest drug corridor in the entire country.
So there's the mile marker, 24 miles from the border,
24
right?
24 miles.
All these hills right here are notorious for scouts being on top.
I mean, there's a lot of people that are abused coming across the border, right?
It's horrible. Sometimes you see these women that come across the border when they're menstruating, and they'll say, because I'll be less likely to be raped. Just look at when we were catching thousands of unaccompanied children. And it's difficult unless you see it. These kids are hardcore, dude. They'll take your lunch money when you're five. They were having sexual relationship through the chain link fence. What we did is we put plywood in between the fencing. A day after the plywood was done, they had already made holes in the plywood so they can, you know, interact.
These are not your typical innocent children.
They're not, man.
That's the Mexican border.
98% of all heroin comes across
this border. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
And this makes a nice bench for the coyotes, right?
Just sit here, because technically you can sit here and make fun of agents as they're coming through.
Oh, that's seriously though, right?
And then you just kick over and you're like, what do you got?
Journalists don't get here very often.
No, they don't get here at all.
No, they don't get here. I'm in Mexico. Drugs on my back, no agents, no border patrol, no cameras, no wall. And what's the first thing I see? I see a sign, a deterrent, that says, oh, be careful. Don't expose yourself to the water or the rattlesnake. Yeah, that's really going to stop them, right?
And you know what? Even if you have ladders, a better physical barricade gives our agents the ability and the time to come up here and make the operation. That's what's needed.
And as you heard there, Art, who's one of the senior people at the Border Patrol, said that yes, a wall, a physical barrier, a wall on the southern border would actually help him do his job. That's from his own words. And now Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tries to bring race into this all the time. Well, if the Border Patrol is racist, how on earth is more than 50% of Border Patrol agents Hispanic? How does that one work out, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? How does that work? Now, mind you, just a little fact check. The Flores settlement from a liberal activist judge means that a Border Patrol agent cannot hold a family unit from a non-contiguous country for more than 21 days. Just so you understand, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that means they get out. That means they get out of these detention centers. And finally, the final point I'll say is this. I'm going to reread Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's quote one more time, referencing detention centers. That is exactly what they are. They are concentration camps, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said. The fact that concentration camps are now an institutionalized practice and the home of the free is an extraordinarily disturbing, and we need to do something about it. Do you know who really advanced a lot of these practices? You know all those pictures of children in cages? Barack Obama. So I just want to make sure this is what the headline should be. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says Obama oversaw concentration camps. Right? Isn't that fair? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says that Barack Obama oversaw concentration camps. Wow, that's quite an accusation from a Democrat socialist, isn't it? For a Democrat socialist to say that Barack Obama oversaw concentration camps, does that mean that she thinks that Barack Obama is a fascist? See, when you start to use this heated language like she is, and you start to compare every single thing back to the 1930s, it cheapens the actual evil that happened in the 1930s and 1940s. It cheapens the evil of a madman maniac, many madman maniacs in Europe at that time that went on absolute and total killing sprees. And what she's doing here is she is pulling on the goodwill and the good intentions of the American people. And I'm going to continue on her quote here because I think it's so important. It's so important. And bear with me here because I find this to be so important because I have made this argument in past podcasts that the Democrat Party is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's party. She continued, I don't use those words lightly. I don't use those words just to throw bombs. I use that word because that's what an administration that creates concentration camps is. A presidency that creates concentration camps is fascist, and it's very difficult to say that. So she's calling Barack Obama a fascist. Barack Obama created many of these detention centers that she calls concentration camps. Barack Obama oversaw children in cages, and the left did nothing. The left did nothing. They didn't care. The left doesn't care about undocumented or illegal children. They call them undocumented. I'll call them illegal. In the middle, call them asylum-seeking children. They just care about power. They care about defeating Donald Trump. They care about packing the Supreme Court. They care about abolishing the Electoral College. They care about destroying our country. That's what the left cares about. And they're using this as an emotional tactic to get what they want. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, this is a detestable and deplorable thing that you said here. And yes, I use that word deplorable intentionally, because you're doing this for no other reason than to demagogue and to get more powerful for yourself. I hope you know better than this. I hope you don't. Let me correct myself. I hope you don't know better than this. I hope you don't know actually what you just said here. Because if you know what you're saying here, then you have no right to be now one of the biggest figures in a major American political party. This is an abuse of rhetoric and an abuse of power on your part to dare compare detention centers that were created under Barack Obama as concentration camps, where they're not allowed to stay more than 21 days for the sole purpose of ending child sex trafficking and to try to solve the Southern crisis. You compare that to one of the worst things that has ever happened, if not the worst thing that has ever happened in human history. It's 2019 and everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. These things are so easy to wear. I wear them to the airport. I wear them when I'm working out. They are terrific. You absolutely need to get them. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. And they sound just as amazing. Celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Cardi B, Melissa Etheridge, Brandy, J.R. Smith are already obsessed. Raycon's E50 wireless earbuds have totally changed the game for me. They're so comfortable. I'm telling you, they're so comfortable and they're easy to take anywhere. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems. And of course, they don't just look great, they sound great too. I'm telling you, when you work out, when you're moving, when you travel like I do, you need earbuds like Raycon. Raycon offers their wireless earbuds for everyone in a range of fun colors at an unbeatable price. Go to raycon.com/Kirk to get 20% off your order. That's buyraycon.com/Kirk to get 20% off Raycon wireless earbuds. If you've been eyeing a pair, now is the time to get an amazing deal. One more time, buyraycon.com/Kirk. All right, everybody, by the time you're listening to this podcast, President Trump will have announced his bid for re-election. This is going to be the most amazing consequential re-election campaign, I think, in our nation's history. And yes, I understand you hear that every single time, but this president is going to work harder than any Democrat that's up against him. He's going to raise more money, hopefully have more small dollar donors. Now, the left might get more money from the billionaires of Silicon Valley, but I believe this president is going to smash records on every single front. And I will tell you that he is just doing such an extraordinary job delivering results, whether it be Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, repealing 22 regulations for every new regulation that's put on the books. We have dialogue with North Korea. ISIS is completely and totally destroyed. Iran is finally being held in check. We have moved the embassy to Jerusalem. We have recognized the Golan Heights. We have the best economy in world history. And I don't say that lightly. 3.2% GDP growth, the lowest ever black unemployment, lowest ever Latino unemployment, lowest ever Asian American unemployment, lowest ever disabled unemployment, lowest youth unemployment in 50 years, lowest female unemployment in 60 years. And we are just getting started. And I'm just so proud to be able to support this president and be able to see what he's doing to deliver results for the American people. Because he is doing this behind the core set of ideas of American exceptionalism, the individual, liberty, that our government should not have jurisdiction over our choices or our sovereignty, but instead that free people in a free society is the best way to accomplish peace and prosperity for all. And it is incumbent on everyone listening to this podcast, whoever you can, to help this president. Now we're officially into re-election season. Can you imagine that? It just seems like yesterday that one of the most beautiful nights, probably the most amazing night of my entire life, he had that shock election against Hillary Clinton. And the final thing I'll say is this: do not believe the polls. 4 years ago, Donald Trump went down that escalator. 4 years ago and a couple days ago, He went down that escalator in Trump Tower, and he was polling at 1% in the Republican primary. Most late-night comedians and almost every pundit on television, what's the difference anymore, right? They say the same thing, and they both one has a live audience clapping, and the other one doesn't. And I'll let you choose which one is which because I can't figure it out sometimes. But late-night comedians and cable pundits on television, they both discounted Donald Trump from the very beginning he went down that golden escalator. And he has changed American politics forever. And he has put forth policies and has amazing legislative accomplishments that has made this country stronger and more peaceful and has revitalized the spirit and ethic of this country. And I want to ask you a question. How on earth could these polls be correct when you have people waiting 40 hours outside just for a rally to see a guy speak? 40 hours. While most of these Democrats can't get people to show up. 18 people showed up to Eric Swalwell's big event, his big gun control event in Virginia. 18 people. Are you kidding me? At Turning Point USA, if we don't have 1,800 people show up at some of our campus events, we're disappointed. And this guy's a sitting congressman running for president of the United States. The energy and the enthusiasm is on our side. Let's capture it. Let's seize it. Let's capitalize on it. Donald Trump, onward to victory in 2020. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please, if you want to help out this show, there's one big thing you can do. Go right now, press subscribe on Apple Podcasts, scroll down, give us that 5-star rating, and write a review. We're going to be taking your questions. We love your reviews. Coming up, we're going to have an episode with Nigel Farage. That's right, an episode with Nigel Farage. So make sure you're subscribed. Ask your questions. We love it so much. Thank you so much for your loyal listenership. Please buy our advertisers' products. It helps out this show so much. And leave us those 5-star reviews. We'll be back soon. Thank you so much. Hey, everybody. There's a new podcast I want to tell you about. It's a case nightmares are made out of. It's the frightening story of a DC power couple, their 10-year-old son, and housekeeper who were held hostage, tortured, and brutally murdered inside their burning DC mansion. You won't believe what happened during those last 22 hours alive and the shocking trail of evidence that led police to the killer. Did he have help? Hear from key witnesses who reveal never-before-heard details. Will this investigation lead to the release of newly discovered and confidential audio recordings so the public can hear the trial for the first time ever? You have to check it out. Download 22 Hours, an American Nightmare, now available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. New episodes every Monday.